To NURFM, good afternoon. Amanda McCreed with you, and I'm talking travel with Sally Lucas.
How are you going? Amanda. Great, thank you.
Excellent. Where are we going today?
Well, we're going to go and visit the most incredible migration of animals in the world. It's the only event that happens, which is the wildebeest. And it's not just wildebeest, actually. Everyone thinks it's just, but actually zebras and gazelles join in this massive trek of 800 kilometres through Kenya and Tanzania, seeking out better food when it dries out in the other area. And I've been there. Ooh. I've seen it. It's amazing.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Hang on. Stop that. There we go. The Eagles wanted to play.
They did. Oh, well, see, they were in on the act as well.
They were.
They're going to fly overhead and guide them.
Oh, dear. So I noticed that I watched a documentary on elephants and they did the big walk across Tanzania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is what this does. I said, as far as your eye can see, if I had a photo to show people, if you can imagine in your mind, you know how far, when you look at the horizon out to sea or look somewhere over a flat plain,
yep,
that's how long the animals, the chain of animals that you see coming through, as far as your eye can see, there is this massive herd of animals moving, and they've got to contend with crocodiles when they cross rivers and all sorts of hazards just to get to where they need to go.
Wow. It's Talking Travel Time with Sally Lucas, and we're talking the great migration of the wildebeest today, Sally.
We are, and I haven't spoken about this for a long time, and we went to Kenya and Tanzania virtually to be able to do that some years back now, and it's an 800-kilometre trek, and it's the largest mammal migration on Earth. You've got a chain of up to 40 kilometres long of animals.
40 kilometres?
As far as the eye can see. It is just amazing. But also the interesting thing is, and I didn't realise that till I got there, actually, I thought it was just wildebeest, but it's not. They have zebras go with them as well, and certain gazelles and elands. So it's more wildebeest than anything else, but you do get these other animals as well. But it's also a hazard for them because they're actually... They give birth, the wildebeests, in sort of around the early part of the year, and then they run out of food in the northern part, so they start migrating south. So they've got the young calves with them as well. So they have all these predatory lions, which are just massive amount of lions in the Serengeti area that are just waiting to feast on a calf. So they've got to get past them. Then there's a couple of major rivers that are full of big fat crocodiles. Oh. So they get to it and you see them and they're just running like crazy. They're just almost like their hooves are on the top of the water because they know they've got to get across the river before the crocodiles snap them up. So it's an amazing thing to see. And it's just a feast for the eyes. It's just hard to explain when you're seeing, as far as the eye can see, this column of animals just moving to get to the greener pastures. And then, of course, they have to go back again. So it's a return journey.
It fathoms me because, you know, how do they know where to go? Like, you know, is it passed down from generation to generation?
I guess it is. And I mean, as I said, they've got to go wherever there's feed, of course. Mm. So once they use the lovely nutritious food, which they need to be able to feed the calves anyway, and once that starts running out because of the dry season, then they've got to move where the rainfall is happening to get the nutritious feed again. So, but it's an amazing part of Africa if you've not been there. It's very different to South Africa and it's a lot more rugged. And also you've got to remember that the East African countries, a lot of them are far less wealthy than South Africa. Mm. They don't have a lot of what South Africa has to keep them going. So tourism is a very big part of their income. And the roads, though, are often quite pothole, bumpy, dirt, it's dusty, you know, so it's not a smooth ride. So, for example, the Jeep we were in, you know, it wasn't big old Land Rover Jeep thing that you sit in the back of to do your safaris. And so it's very hard on your back.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to go if you had a bad back issue or something like that, or you might want to, if you can afford it, do a private safari. Gradually they were getting foreign aid when we were there to start help building better roads because they just didn't have the money to build the better roads to get you into these national parks. But when you get there and you get to the Ngorongoro crater, which is this massive crater which was once a volcano, it's a really lush area that they pass through as well. And here you're going to see herds of the most incredible herds of elephants, which I adore.
I love elephants
as well. And I fell in love with giraffes when I was there. They are so graceful, you know, and and the bird life. You know, I've said this before, I went for the animals, but the bird life and the colour of the bird life was astounding. It's just one of those really amazing experiences to go into Kenya, Tanzania, that area. And the national parks are just wonderful. And you stay at some lovely lodges like ours. Wasn't five star, but it was certainly 3.5 to 4 star accommodation. Food and everything was great. You know, the people were wonderful. Just one of those incredible experiences when you've have a lion walking beside your car, or there's a leopard dangling with its arms just hanging over a branch in a tree, you know, having a bit of a snooze. And then we saw leopards chasing some wildebeest, but the wildebeest were too fast, so it must have been all that hungry because it gave up. It was just in it for the fun, I think.
Did you follow them in a car, you know, watching them on their migration?
On their journey. In one part of the park, yes. So it was certain, when you're in that certain part of the park, we were there for probably only about a day and a half in that particular area, but there to see that specific migration and to see them cross a river.
Right.
The Mara River, which is massive. So it's, you can't, I mean, they say it's mainly July is the main time, but again, it depends on the rains. Mm. So luck of the draw in some respects, like we say going to Japan for cherry blossom. If they've had a big winter, the cherry blossoms mightn't start till later that year, and you've booked for early April, but they didn't come till late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but generally it's a big migration. It happens over a period of months. So you'd be dead unlucky not to see that if you wanted to go at that time of the year.
Oh, it sounds great.
Just amazing, amazing part of the world.
The crocodiles must love it too.
Oh, yeah. And the lions. Anyway, yes. Yeah, it's the circle of life, isn't it? I know it sounds a bit confronting, but if you saw a lion attack a baby, you'd probably feel upset. But,
yeah.
But that's life.
Mm.
And that's how they survive. Mm. So, but amazing, absolutely amazing. If it's on your bucket list, do it.
And we're talking off-peak travel, Sal.
Yes. It's the thought of, you know, soaring airfares and hotel prices and huge crowds are just not your thing. Shift your preconceptions about when you should travel and just don't go when everyone else is going. So particularly in Europe, like July, August, peak, and not just peak for summer being hot and can be, you know, really, as we know, stinking hot, and especially in the Mediterranean. But you've got to remember they're on holidays too. America's on holidays. So it's all impacting. They're all going to be there when you're there. So if you go off peak, you're going to get lower airfares, lower hotel prices, not as many people, so you won't have long queues to get in to see the attractions you want to see. It's not going to be too hot or too cold, whatever the case may be, but certainly if you want to go winter in Europe, obviously you've got shorter days, so you don't have as long in your daytime hours to do things, but there are those other benefits. And especially if you're a second or third time traveller, you've already been in maybe the peak season, you think, no, this isn't what I want to do anymore. I want to see what happens in autumn or, you know, winter and get those experiences. And also you've got to remember in each season, these countries often have their own festivals that are suitable for those seasons. So you'll see it in winter with all the beautiful lights and, you know, the stalls selling all their wonderful mulled wine or their chocolates or their, you know, roasted chestnuts, marshmallows, gingerbread.
You're making me hungry.
All of that. And it's just, yeah, I just think, you know, if you're going at that time of the year, and you take, for example, Switzerland, for example, that's another country I'll pick out of the air, but it has the most wonderful, extensive, eco-friendly train system. And at the moment, they're actually at the forefront of sustainable travel, and they're calling it Swiss-tainable accreditation of hotels and restaurants. And they've got a commitment to climate neutrality by 2050. That's right. Not bad, is it? And so they're working. So if you're really keen on, you know, helping the planet, go off season and go to countries that are really trying to help reduce our impact on this wonderful planet of ours. But Japan, for example, we did mention that, like autumn in Japan is actually more colourful and it lasts longer. The season lasts longer than cherry blossom does. The blossoms don't stay long. I know it's pink and it's pretty, but if you go in autumn, again, you're not in peak season and you're going to see, I love autumn colours.
I love autumn.
I think those russets and golds and browns are just stunning. So just keep that in mind. And also, like, even in places like Canada, for example, I mean, again, you've got people who want to go for the ski season and do the winter thing. But again, if you want to go in, say, April or in October, you're not in the ski season, but again, you're out of the where you get, again, it's expensive in the middle of ski season, and it's also expensive if you want to cruise in the middle of summer. So, you know, these are the things to weigh up. And as I said, particularly if it's maybe your second time, that you can go and do the more off-peak different things that you haven't done before.
Especially, you know, with the cost of living crisis, you know, if you want to take a holiday, you know, off-peak time is probably the best time to go.
Well, it is. And again, getting in early, as we always say, as far as getting your cheaper airfares are concerned. And, you know, again, entrance fees and things like that into your museums are often less, and you're not going to have those horrible queues. So, and that's nothing worse, is it?
When you go
to something,
wasting time. Standing I know, even in line, it's
well,
annoying.
I remember summer here actually, and we went down to see something that was on at the National Gallery in Canberra, and I thought, I can't stand here in the heat. It was stinking hot. It was one of those stinker days, and I said, no, let's forget it. So we ended up going to the Portrait Gallery, which was only just nearby. No queues there. Because I can't remember whose exhibition it was, but it was obviously a specific one that an artist, someone wanted to see. And the Portrait Gallery was fantastic. All the portraits we saw there that were just so many different ones from different prominent people and, you know, just, and we had it almost all to ourselves.
Yeah, that's
so again,
great.
Go to a museum that's not up there. Don't go to the Louvre in Paris, go to one of the others.
Oh, that's controversial.
You know, and because people just go to see the Mona Lisa, and it's such a tiny painting, and everyone's crowded around it. Again, so don't go there in peak if you really do want to see the Mona Lisa or anything else in the Louvre. Yeah. You know, just always consider the time of year. Look at your websites. It's so important too, because museums shut at different times at, you know, different days of the week and are open different times in different seasons. So if there's something specific you want to see, do your homework. So important to do your homework and just find out when things are open or shut. And get apps if you want to. If you're worried about language, get your travel app.
Yeah.
Your language app, sorry. Or you can
they
get
Translate.
Yeah, the Translate app if you're worried about that. And everyone says, oh, you know, the French are rude, da, 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 da. I've never experienced that. And admittedly, I can speak some French. And I think that's all you've got to do. And it's, even to each other, they always say bonjour. It's courtesy for them. It's a courtesy thing.
Yeah.
You know, au revoir, if you're saying goodbye, good evening, bonsoir, merci for thank you. Just a few words, and it makes all the difference in the world. And they appreciate the fact that you're helped, because they're actually embarrassed to speak English because they don't speak it well enough. So it's actually the other way around. So if you say a few words, they really appreciate it. And I think that would go with most languages, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, so be prepared. Do your research. You get so much more out of your holiday if you do your research. And that's where your travel agent can help you as well, obviously, as well as doing your own. If you get stuck, that's what they're there for.
Yep, that's a great tip. What hot deals have you got for us today, Sal?
Well, before we go to the hot deals, just a bit of airline news. Qantas and Jetstar have confirmed they will have Newport Vela services after the collapse of Air Vanuatu from Brisbane and Sydney, respectively. Initially, I think it's from Brisbane, and it'll be from September 10. There'll be three flights a week with Qantas, and they'll be have the availability to scale up to five weekly services, depending, I guess, on demand, etc. And Jetstar will then launch up to four weekly services between Sydney and Vela from December 1. Virgin has been the only airline still currently flying between Australia and Vanuatu, also out of Brisbane. It's easy enough for us, though, to get a Newcastle-Brisbane service to connect with that. And they've had two, but they've been allowed to increase to five services a week till the end of June. And then approval was later granted for them to add additional weekly services up to seven a week from July.
Oh, that's good.
So that's good. So it's a lovely little destination. So I'm so pleased that they've grabbed hold of those routes and taken them over from Air Vanuatu. Mm. So at least it's back on the travel list, which is fantastic.
Put it on your bucket list.
Yeah, it's a lovely destination. We went there so many times when James was little. He just loved it. It just was, and all the Nevan people, as they call them, they are so friendly and so welcoming. It's often been called one of the happiest places on earth. So
we'll have to go.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, that's right. No. All right, hot deals.
Hot deals. Okay. Now, if you book by 9 July and you want to go to the Galapagos, which I'm looking forward to soon, there are some wonderful savings, up to 25% savings. And also if you're taking a child, there's up to $1,000 off for a child as well. Got to book by 9 July. That doesn't give you very much time. And that is with Lynn Blad Expeditions. And also Hurtigruten. Mark's not here. Mark, are you listening? Hurtigruten, they've got savings as well into the Galapagos with more than $3,000 per person on last-minute expeditions for this year. And it's just subject to availability, like until sold out, mm-hmm. basically. Also with Ponant, the French cruising company, they've got an odyssey in the land of the rising sun. Japan has become the flavour of the month. We cannot, honestly, just about every second inquiry is for Japan at
really?
The moment. It's amazing. It's just an odyssey of people going to Japan. Anyway, you can save up to 25% on a range of their cruises that circumnavigate some of Japan or do all sorts of areas in Japan. And again, until sold out. So get on your bike if you want to get some savings. Now, also, they've got a little cruise here. If you're already in Japan, like on a land tour, doing a land tour, there's a little short cruise you can do out of Okinawa doing some lovely little outer islands of Japan. So this is just on sale until next week also with kids sail free. And this is just a four-night cruise among the hidden gems of Japan's scattered islands, because Japan's got almost an archipelago of islands around it. We all know of the main islands of Honshu, etc., but there's all these beautiful little islands that are just delightful. You know, you've got pristine white sands, you've got the turquoise blue waters. Mm. Like, people don't think of Japan in that way.
Should do an island tour.
So, you know, keep that in mind as well. Now, getting back to Europe, we've got Adriatic Coastal Cruises, the Norwegian Coastal Express, European Gems, which is the Amsterdam-Budapest River cruise, and the 8-day Douro Discovery, which is the lovely Douro River in Portugal. There's savings on those. This one you've got up until the 31st of October, unless sold out. The savings range from anywhere from $1,600 per couple up to $5,600 per couple on the European Gems. And back in Australia, we've got to get a little bit in here. Islands, Icons of Australia's West Coast. This is Coral Expeditions, our pioneering cruise line of Australia. And they've got some beautiful cruises. The Kimberley, of course, 10 nights Broome to Darwin or vice versa. And they've got one that does the Tiwi Islands to the north, which is fabulous, of the Northern Territory as well. And they do the Ningaloo and the Rowley, get my words out in a minute, Rowley Shoals. That's so hard to say, isn't it? Rowley Shoals. The Marine Park, the Dampier Archipelago, the historic Montebello Islands. Wonderful cruise that is. That's a 12-night. And there's another one called Whales and Trails of Western Australia. And that's Fremantle to Fremantle, where you discover the migratory habits of your humpback and southern right whales. You do coastal walks, vineyards, and if you're going there in the springtime, you're going to see the glorious West Australian carpet of spring flowers.
Beautiful.
So there's lots out there, as always. Get in early. The earlier you get in, the better the buy you'll have. So, you know, think ahead, plan, as we've just been discussing.
Yes.
It's so important, and you'll get so much more out of your holiday.
Oh, some great destinations today. Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.